Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading we heard this morning is a bit of scary holy scripture for some. You know, about Jesus coming again in his final judgment, the separating of the sheep and the goats. But I invite you to listen to the good news our Lord has said, as written by the Apostle St. John. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" So our gospel this morning then tells us that those on his right are lifted up to glory into the kingdom of God our Father, which he has prepared for us even from the very foundation of this world. He foreknew he'd have a place for us who believe in his gift of his only dear Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, but those on his left, the goats, these are those who don't really believe, those who've shunned doing the work he's commanded us to do, and all he has said is to be like him, providing for those without food and drink, merely welcoming a stranger into your midst, going to visit the sick and the suffering in prison. So I suppose for those found on that last day to not have faith in their hearts would be set into that place where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. So yes, God requires good works of us. And he requires them when Christ comes again to publicly judge both the living and the dead. He will consider the hearts of all men and look for evidence of faith. Evidence. He's going to want to see it. No. It's not the works, my friends. It's not the filthy things that you do that you try to gain favor with God. It is your faith in Christ Jesus and evidence of that faith in your heart, namely the works which faith alone is able to produce. You see, simply appearing before our Maker and Redeemer on that last and glorious day and trying to cry out, "Hey, I believe," it just won't do. When Christ comes and you are brought into public view in the light of our Lord, when every sham and every deception falls away, no lies, no falsehoods, no reaching up and begging for mercy will keep you. Even those works done as what you call in love. "I did it out of love." But if you've done them out of love without Jesus Christ, it's all for naught. And it too perverts the word and the gospel that we hear today. Each work which is listed in our gospel today, there's six of them, they refer to the King himself. Each work is thus made personal, as though it were being done for God himself. This then makes very plain that most clearly the inner motive that prompted these works, the inner motive that prompted you to do these things, is the fear and love for God, and the love that's springs forth from your faith. It shows having you've received his faith. You've received that saving grace by faith. And our gratitude responds by works that are intended for him. We know what happens then to the sheep. They are carried away into the new heaven and the new earth. But the goats, those who haven't the faith, Jesus clearly and specifically points out today what he will say. He will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment. Scary. Scary stuff. Truly is. But it does get better. It truly does. It gets much better, my beloved friends. Borrowing, though, from many of other theologians I've known before me, I must declare to you that you know neither the scriptures nor the power therein. For immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in the heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's not a reading from Revelation either, my friends. It's from St. Matthew's Gospel. And our gospel today begins with these words: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." After all that focusing on the bad, nasty stuff that really is going to happen, we skimmed right over the wonders of his grace, mercy, and peace. Flew right past him. He is coming again. Jesus. He, the very Son of Man, who is more than man, the very incarnate second person of the Holy Trinity, shall come as such. But he'll not come in humiliation as he did at his birth by the Virgin Mary, as he came for our redemption. No, he will come again in his glory. All of his mighty attributes that we've gleaned from Scripture will be present all at once. He'll bring all his divine powers to bear. Unrestricted, the sum of all our God is will be viewed by all people upon every place of this earth, and will once again see him in his human nature, the very same nature that rose from that tomb on Easter morning and ascended into heaven, the same person, Jesus Christ. Oh, and with him, will be all the angels of heaven at his ordering, all the company of angels. And what a magnificent and magnitude of angelic host that will be. They will accompany our Lord upon his return. That this is what will happen on that great and glorious last day when our Lord Jesus returns. But we also know from our gospel reading that he will be seated upon his throne. It's definitely a scene right out of a courtroom, wouldn't you think? Seated up high upon his throne, judging the living and the dead. Yet there will not be a jury present, nor will there be a bailiff. Just our Lord's mighty throng of angels and archangels. And it says, and before his throne will be gathered all nations. Think about that, those two words. All nations. Where have we heard all nations before? We heard those nations were commanded to us to go out into. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So there will be no arresting, no serving of a warrant, no last chance for a final statement before final judgment is proclaimed. The reason for the placement of this lesson before us today on the last day of the church year is for us to recall the mission of the church itself. As our Lord has commanded us to do, to teach the faithful to him, to reach out to the lost who've either wandered away from God's grace or those who've yet not even heard of the name of Jesus, to care for all people. He doesn't specify which people. He says all nations. Helping them to eat and drink, welcoming them into our church, being clothed and protected from the elements, and visiting those in jail and prison. You see, let me ask you, what if it were you who was hungry and thirsty? God has provided for you. What if it were you who walked into this church as a stranger in hope and prayed that you'd be warmly welcomed? God would indeed warmly, lovingly welcome you. What if you were in need of clothing or a warm coat, especially now as the days turn kind of chilly? God would provide for you. What if you became sick? Maybe you were sitting in a hospital or alone in your home and no one would come and visit you. God would be there. What if you were imprisoned, left to rot away the remainder of your life in the squalor of an iron cell? Yet you too knew that you'd been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and nobody came to visit you, and no one told you any more about the glory of the Lord. Jesus would be with you. From Holy Scripture, we've learned even the Apostle Thomas. Remember him? But he asked a very good question for us. He asked a question for us with those of us with a thick mind or plugged ears. He said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. So come. Come, all you who are baptized and redeemed by Christ's death and resurrection. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Hear this day, the glory yet to come for you. A promise from God himself through his dear son, Jesus Christ. You who are righteous in his sight, as you will be lifted up into eternal life, a life forever with him in his glorious realm of the heavenly places, eternally, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the words of Christ Jesus.